for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday morning, December the 29th, 1998. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Bunch, Jr. of San Fernando Valley, California, is the speaker of the morning.
I want to bring a message to you about the Glorious Church, and it's been my heart's desire to bring this forth. It's been a blessing and privilege to begin to preach what God's laid on my heart a short time ago. Preaching out of Matthew, the 17th chapter, we have our first tape, in our first volume is back there if you want to get it. We're starting about midstream in this series. But I also want to say that it was a pleasure to meet Tommy Cook, because as I understand that he's been preaching out of Matthew 18 sometime, and what a wonderful confirmation that the Lord has us in different places of the United States and given us that same revelation on Matthew 17. So praise God for that. Also, I want to say that I've sat under Pastor Jack's ministry, and yesterday I referred to the fact that in the Bible here, it has an explanation on the parousia, and that Pastor Jack teaches on the glory, and he does. He says he has a book out, The Glory of God in Your House, and he teaches on kingdom living. But I don't want anybody to think that he's heard my message on the end times, and he endorses that. So I don't want to try to pull my reputation up on something that isn't true either. But God's good, isn't he? And he confirms his word. He confirms his word with signs following. He confirms his word in every area and facet of our life if we will let him, because his word shall not return void, and he shall accomplish his word where to and whatever he sent it for. Hallelujah. We were in St. John, the 14th chapter last time. We want to turn back there. St. John 14, and the 21st through the 23rd verses. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me, he will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said, if any man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. Heavenly Father, we ask you to add your blessing to the reading of this word. Not only that, that you would give these oily words of your Spirit to flow out to those that would have ears to hear, those who have receptive hearts, that they may understand this word and the delivery of this word that is given today. We pray, Lord, for your strength, your ministry, and your power to be evident in Jesus' name. Amen. We were teaching last time about the parousia, the coming of the Lord. It says over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, that the Lord is going to come, and at his coming, his parousia is going to be present in his glorified people. And in that presence of his presence, there's going to be a demonstration in the church of a power of God and a glory of God that has not been seen since the Lord was here on this earth. And we want to paint a picture, if you will, of the presence of God. It's inadequate. It's similar to the example of having a picture of your wife, and you're away in ministry, and you have this picture of your wife, and you look at this picture, and you think it's all so wonderful, but it's not the same as the presence. You understand? We have a picture the Lord is painting. It's just like a lattice work, and more of the lattice is coming down as the time draws close for his coming in his parousia. His time of his coming is appearing. And when he's going to be present in his glorified people. And we're anxious. We're drawing near. We're longing on tiptoes for the coming in that presence of God. And the Lord has painted a picture in our hearts. We want to give this to you of just exactly what this fullness will be. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we've received an earnest, a foretaste of things to come, of the inheritance. We will be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says. Amen. We're going to be a part of a ruling and a reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew, the 17th chapter, gives us a picture of the types of glory that will be manifest. Just as there is a body of Christ now that is manifest, the hands ministry, the different facets of the hands ministry of healing and miracles and signs and wonders and the gifts that are manifest now in the body of Christ, so it will be in the glory. And we want to go on now and look at the fact that the Lord has promised that He is going to come to His church and He will make His home with you. He's going to take of you and make His home. And so this is why we have so often talked about the fact that we need to clean house. We need to prepare. We need to get in order for the coming of the Lord. Because He's coming soon. Your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. By the simple fact of the times and seasons of His coming are evident. No other time in the world has knowledge increased, as Daniel said, as it has in this time. I mean, many other generations said, oh, He's coming soon, He'll be here any minute. But no other time can the nation of God, the Christians, claim that there has been an increased knowledge. You know, since 1948, there's been so many increased duplications and inventions. That now the inventions that are happening in 7 months almost double what happened 7 months ago. You know, even in the computer industry, if you bought a computer 6 months ago, it's already outdated. Not only that, I bought a computer a year ago, and I can buy a computer right now twice the speed, twice the power, for half the price a year ago. And they say that the military industry is 10 years ahead of that. So knowledge is increasing in an abundant way. What about the earthquakes and the signs and things in the earth? As a woman travails in childbirth, the earth is travailing. The desire of all creation is for the manifestation of the sons of God, that they would come forth and be seen, that God would show forth His glory. Because, you see, there's something to happen at the fall. There was a vacuum that we had left when we left that place and position in authority and dominion in the earth. And God has said that salvation work is to bring you back into that place of authority and dominion. It's to bring you back into that place as was before the fall, that fellowship that we had with God, that mankind had with God. And having never seen anything like it before, we must take from the Word of God and His plan and say, we want that full salvation. We have an earnest and we have a demonstration of the Spirit. And praise God that we can come to places where the Holy Spirit moves on in special visitations and we are changed. Amen? Out of court is visitation. The holy place is manifestation. The Holy of Holies is habitation. I will come and I will make my home with you. Out of you, out of my people, I'm going to build a house and then I'm going to move in. Recently, the Lord showed me a picture in my heart of the Lord coming through the front door of our house. And He walks past us and He walks into the kitchen and He looks around and He starts taking things out of this drawer and puts it over here. And He looks in the refrigerator and He adjusts a few things over there and then He goes into the dining room, does a few things, and then He comes back in to another place. And He's arranging furniture and He's touching this and moving that over there and then finally opens the front door and says, come on in! And the Lord moves in. The glory of God in your house. The glory of God is a covering over your house. God's coming to live with you. His people. You see, we're longing to go to heaven. Every day we talk about going to heaven, going to heaven. You know the Lord's longing to come back here. His whole purpose is to come back here. We're just temporary when we go to heaven. His purpose is to come back here. Hallelujah! And we're the people that He's preparing for His house. I'm believing for a day when miracles will be 24 hours a day in God's people. Angels ascending and descending, as Brother Tommy Cook says, we're going to be here, but living there. Amen. We're going to see the Lord face to face. We're going to know His glory in an intimate relationship. And this is the time. This is the time of His coming. This is the time that He is going to be manifest in the earth. Praise the Lord. Now we know that at His coming there is some work that He will do in us. We want to talk about the fact that the Lord is going to do and bring to pass the Feast of Atonement. Remember that there are three feasts in Israel that they were to attend. That was the Passover. That was the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, in the Feast of Tabernacles, there are three. There's the Feast of Trumpets. There's the Day of Atonement. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacles. Final area of His glory, where they take these little booths. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter talked about saying, well, we'll build you a little booth, you know, for the glory. It's a house. It's a type. It's a habitation that the Lord is talking about. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 5th chapter and talk about that. Habitation from above that would come down. We don't want to be unclothed. We want to be clothed upon with that habitation from above. Amen. But in the Day of Atonement, there is something of the fullness of His salvation that is coming to His church to cause us to enter into that glorious state. First of all of you know that we were shapen in iniquity and in sin our mother conceived us. Salvation that was paid for 2,000 years ago was complete work. But it has not completely been manifested in us. Those that go through deliverance know that if you do not keep yourself unspotted from the world, 1 John talks about he that is born of God keepeth himself, that the wicked one touches him not. There's a certain amount of daily sacrifice that we must go through. Because the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We always have these things that creep up inside of us of rebellion, of pride. These deceptions of the enemy that come at us from all angles. And first of all, we turn around, well, you know, I got to kick this thing off of me. I got to get a little spiritual shower here. You know, because I need some cleansing. I need some healing. Well, the Lord has said that this Day of Atonement is a day where His fullness will come into His people and we will be transformed. And there's Scripture to prove what that day will be like. And we want to talk about it. First of all, we understand that the high priest, Jesus Christ, has entered into that veil in the heavenlies. And the sacrifice has been made and the fullness, the completion of His salvation is done in heaven. Now, when that Lamb comes to be in His people, everything that was provided for and everything that was accomplished will instantly, how about that Scripture says, in a day, He will change us, that He will transform our minds, that He will put His laws in our hearts, and we will not go out into sin. Did Jesus say, Satan hath no part in me? Do you believe that? No part. Lawlessness in our members will be put down under the feet of Jesus. He will make His enemies His footstool. Let's look at some Scripture here. Turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter here. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Ninth verse. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. The first was the fact that the priests went into the Holy of Holies once a year for the sacrifice and the atonement of all people. Amen? What was provided there on Calvary is atonement and the receiving of healing, number one. How many know that the provision is there for you, but you don't automatically have it just because it's there? It has to be applied. It has to be claimed in the name of Jesus. Amen? This work that the Lord wanted to do was to take away the type and begin to establish the actual, the expectancy, the hope of complete redemption. Let's read on. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. How often do we daily offer sacrifice unto the Lord? And we are covered by His blood. But this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for his sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the Father. From that time waiting till, or until, this is a time factor that Tommy Cook talked about. We're going to see this word a couple of times. Until. You see, the promised Messiah was promised. And it was fulfilled. The promised Messiah was promised until. Anna said, this is a salvation. Simeon said, this is the one that God has chosen and sent. Amen? So here we have the fullness of salvation coming at that time. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, the Lord, I will put My laws into their heart and into their mind, and I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of sin, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we do. In the name of Jesus, we receive His sacrifice and His atonement for sin. Amen? And we have a covering. And we have a cleansing. But then again, we go out and we have to come back. But what God is wanting to do is He wants to come to His people. He wants to make His home with us, that the lawless deeds will no longer be in evidence. Let's turn to Ezekiel 21, 25 through 29. Starting to ring a little bit. Ezekiel 21. I'll try to take time going through these scriptures because I don't want to miss any points or examples. This king was King Zedekiah. He was called a king of iniquity and sin. He was the last king in Israel before they were taken into Babylon. The Lord took the crown off his head and says it's not going to be until the one who deserves it comes, which is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read these scriptures here. Now to you, O profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose days have come, whose iniquity shall end. Thus says the Lord God, remove the turban, take off the crown. Nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the humble, and humble the exalted. Overthrow overthrow. Overthrown, overthrown. I will make it overthrown. It shall be no longer until there it is, until he comes, whose the right it is, I will give it to him. Do you think the Lord received crown?
Amen.
Yes, the crown of life. The crown of life. Jesus Christ has received that crown. 28th verse. And you, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, concerning the Amorites. Ammonites, I'm sorry. The Ammonites were also in Nehemiah 13. They were the ones, it was Tobiah and Sanballat, that were hindering the rebuilding of the temple, the thing that God had commanded to be done. The Ammonites were a type of lawlessness. They intermarried with those that were heathen. They were of the Israelites' descendants, but they became lawless in their attitudes and their being. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think the crown of thorns was put on the Lord's head? If everything that he paid for had a reason, every piercing that he had a reason, why was the crown put on his head? Because he's coming back to give us a crown, a diadem of beauty, a crown of glory. Amen? He's coming back with his crown to put upon our head. Now, there's been a crown of drunkenness and iniquity that has been on mankind from the time of his fall. It's a rule and authority of the enemy, a way in, if you will, that Romans, the 7th chapter, talks about. He says, I find with my in my members a law that brings me into captivity. We're talking about something that is right between our ears, right up here. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. God's going to throw it down. Hallelujah! This is the redemption that we've asked for. This is the full salvation we've talked about. This is the thing that we've desired and hungered for. And that is the time when we can have Satan under our feet and we don't have to worry about him coming up and biting us in the knee. Amen? I've been in deliverance ministry longer than I've actually been in pulpit ministry, probably 27 years. And many of you that have been in deliverance ministry, you know what I'm talking about. I've paid my dues. I got the rug burns and everything to prove it. But as the anointing grows, as the knowledge grows, as the understanding grows, there have been many wonderful testimonies of people being delivered from the bondages of the enemy. Amen. But my longing has always been, Lord, there must be more. Because I see these people free. And then if they don't watch themselves, the enemy sneaks up behind them and says, hello, and they're at it again. And my cry is, Lord, your fullness, your fullness. We want to see that crown of iniquity cast down. We want to see that lawlessness in our members taken away. Because you paid for it. Wasn't that what the atonement talked about? No more remembrance of sin? You know, in 1 John it says, when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. So when he appears, don't you think there has to be something done before he appears? Amen. I believe that in the parousia, he's going to so transform us into his image that when he comes, it's just going to be a change of address. When he comes to take us away, to catch us up. Amen. Just from one point to another. Step over and there I am. The last thing that's taken care of is death. But he's going to put, according to 1 Corinthians 15, he's going to put all your enemies under his feet. And the only one you're subject to is the living God. And that means that you will have a dominion and authority and a mind and an intellect that you've never had before because God promised it. We will have the mind of Christ. Amen? Do you think he has any learning disabilities or problems? Do you think he has a hard time comprehending anything? Do you think he has any incapacities? Hallelujah! Wouldn't you like to have a photographic memory, huh? Our Dr. Noll was talking about Adam before the fall and how he named every single animal on this earth. And the fact that we only use probably about 5% of our gray matter at all. Scientists say that women more use both sides of their brain, men only use half a brain. Depends on which side of that argument you're on, as whether you agree or not, right? But the fact is, there are so many areas of our mind that science don't even know how it operates. It's just there. Amen? Let me ask you one thing. How did a snake communicate with Adam and Eve? It had some way of communication. Whether that snake before the fall talked, I don't know. But there was some kind of communication. He had some kind of communication with the animals. How else would he have dominion over them? You see, the Lord is coming to do something in his church that's going to wake up the world and say, God is God. Hey, you know, the church has done its best. But on our best day, we step on other people's toes. And this is no representation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we want to present to the world. The church has done their best. But God is coming back and said, I will represent and I will demonstrate my glory. I will arise, according to Malachi, with healing in my wings, and you shall go out as a calf out of the stall. You shall mount up with wings as eagles, and you'll run and not be weary, and you'll walk and not faint. As Joel's army, nothing stopped Joel's army. This army of the Lord runs through walls. They fly like locusts. I know you've probably not heard this, but grasp with me a moment. An army that nothing can stop. Not bombs, not germ warfare, not walls, not defense of any kind. And think what terror that's going to bring to the world, because judgment has come. This is the coming of the Lord. This is the glorious church. This is the one that will be presented to the world. Hallelujah.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Ezekiel 36, 23. Ezekiel 36 and 23. Another thing that we want to think is there's in the glory there will be those that will have been caught up to the Lord. They say that the man-child is caught up into heaven, and they're changed. Think of the Lord after the resurrection. Did he walk through walls? Did he appear in many different images that people didn't recognize? As a matter of fact, on the road to Emmaus, the disciples there were with him that knew Jesus. He was hidden from them. And he talked to them, and he opened the scriptures, and finally they recognized him. Do you think they were blinded? No. This is a part of the glory that we have not seen in the body of Christ. This is a part of the resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. Have we seen it yet? We will. We will. Hallelujah. The glorious church without spot or wrinkle. The Lord is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, of which we are a part if we have ears to hear. Because ears are the way that the Lord plants his word and his nature and draws his people unto himself. Let's look over here in Ezekiel. Everybody with me? Praise the Lord. Let's look over in Ezekiel 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God. And I am, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Do you hear that? When I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. Do you hear it? And from all your idols. You think if the Lord doesn't work, it's done? I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. Do you hear that? Right now, he that is joined to the Lord, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, I believe it's the 8th verse, 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 8, verse, talks about the fact that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The Lord said he's going to take his spirit and give it to you. He's going to replace your mindset, your carnal mind, with his mind. I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land and give that I give you to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Let's turn to the 31st verse. And then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Imagine this. We know what it is to stumble and fall. We know what it is to have times where we are not able to bring the word of the Lord effectively to people, for whatever reason. We know what it is to run into walls and difficulties. But think about it for a moment. If the completion of his salvation, of his perfect work, be perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, is fully accomplished in us. Think what that means. That means that as natural as it for you to be imperfect right now, it will be natural for you to see and to know the righteousness of the living God 24 hours a day. And you will think of the way that you used to be, and you'll begin to loathe yourself. How could I have done that? What was I thinking? What was I thinking? So we'll go on. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the city. On the day of atonement, the day when he comes to be manifest in his body. There it is. Now, that's just one of a few scriptures that we can turn to that says the Lord has promised that he would write his laws in our hearts and in our minds. Jeremiah 31 talks about that fact. Do you think what the Lord has promised he's going to fail to do? No. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's able also to perform. What the Lord has given you in your heart and what you've received in your heart and the desire to go forth and to be all that God wants you to be is not going to be denied. He is going to accomplish everything he sent his word to do. How many believe that scripture that says he has sent his word forth and it's not going to return unto him void? If he said that it's going to have a people out of a people, he's going to have it. Is that right? It's not going to return to him void. He says, by my own name I have sworn it and I have declared it. Here's another thing. If, and it's not going to happen, if God were not to have a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle, Satan would mock him. I did it. I went into your garden, destroyed your glorious garden with temptation and sin, but you couldn't take a people out of the people and bring them out of my garden into your garden again. That's the whole plan of salvation. That's the whole plan of redemption. And God will fulfill it. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Is that right? Has he promised that your future is better than your present? How about the fact you're somewhere in the future and you look much better than you look right now. Have you thought about that? Have your eyes lifted up to the hills from which cometh your strength? Have you looked unto Him, the source of your salvation and the fullness of joy? Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean you won't believe it. God has said it will happen. God promised it, and regardless of my experience, I believe God's word, don't you? Regardless of what I can feel or touch or say, there's a demonstration of it. Many of our believers here, these ministers in righteousness, have seen God's glory in visitation. But we are the people that are going to see God's glory in manifestation and habitation. Hallelujah. So let's hunger and thirst. Let's desire earnestly for these things. We want to talk next time about the Ezekiel experience. We want to talk next time about the Isaiah experience. Amen? These are times where the Lord took Ezekiel and He gave him something to eat and he ate it. And then the Lord sent him out. And the glory picked him up and took him. And everywhere he went, the power of God was strong upon him. And Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he took the coals from off the altar. You know what altar that was? That was the altar of incense, the altar of praise, the altar of worship, and touched his tongue. See, the tongue of man is what gets you in trouble. See, if we would learn to speak the word, we'd be a lot better off rather than the circumstance. If we learn to speak what God said of you rather than your situation and recount what's happening, you'd be a lot better off. See, the Lord can move into your circumstance where you create Him room to be enthroned. This is why worship is so important. Listen, every single one of you have an obligation to come to create a throne where the Lord may sit down in your midst. You think about it. Thou art enthroned, O Lord, in the praises of Israel. So what we do, we come and we shake ourselves and we say, bless God, I'm here to minister. I'm here to create an atmosphere so that He can sit down and be Lord. Too many, we wait around for the minister to get up there and start preaching. And if the minister motivates us, then bless God, he's a good preacher. But if for some reason we haven't shaken off the things that are going to keep us from what God wants, we sit there and we miss it. Folks, I've been there. I know what it is to miss what God has for me just because I was too tired or I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? This is why I encourage you, every time you come to church, come to bring an offering. I'm not talking about that green stuff in your wallet, although that is included. I'm talking about your hands. I'm talking about your lips. They're an offering to the Lord. Don't leave your offering at home. Don't leave it at the front door. Don't leave it in the next room. But I just ate and I'm full and I'm about ready to fall asleep. Listen, God has so much provision for you. Jesus says, I have food that you know not of. You know what I mean? This is where we shake ourselves. This is where we stir ourselves. Paul said to Timothy, stir up that the life within you. The word has been preached, and what happens is revival begins in your heart. The manifestation of His word begins in your heart, where you make Him room, where you begin to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ over your house and say, Lord, get everything in order. I'm willing. Whatever you want, I want it in order so that I can be all that you want me to be. I want what you want. My will is yours. My desire is yours. Now, here's one thing that I tell everyone that I try to that has this feeling inside. Many of you don't realize what God has invested in you at your birth. See, I'm going to expose my skirt for a moment. You know, I grew up in learning disabilities. Both my kids are special education kids. It was everything I could do to get a good grade in high school. When I was called to the ministry, I had such fear on me that I couldn't speak to maybe two or three people without shaking in my boots or stuttering. To this day, I still have to fight a nervous stomach when I'm ready to speak. But you know God is able. When I left high school, I felt this veil come off my mind. And from the day I began to preach, the first sermon, the Lord's given me insight into His scriptures that is beyond my ability in the natural. I tell you that, God's honest truth. And it's for His glory and for His praise. You struggle with things that your parents said over you. You can't do this. You're not going to amount to anything. And, oh, who do you think you are? Buckle down and get under my thumb, and I'm the master of this house. As well-meaning as your parents were, that damaged you. And you need healing. You need restoration. You need soul restoration. You need to be restored into His fullness and begin to realize the treasure that the Lord has invested in you. A lot of you can't even receive the love of God because you've never known unconditional love. You never know what it is to walk down the street and feel like, I'm somebody going somewhere. Jesus is with me. I feel good. You don't know that. But He wants to let Himself be known in you and through you. God put a great treasure in you. You are valuable to Him. How many have heard that word, that if you were the only sinner, He would have died for you anyway?
Amen.
God loves you so much. It doesn't matter about your background. It doesn't matter about your social status. It doesn't matter what you are able to do or not able to do. He has put something and a treasure in you that is valuable to Him, and He wants it to come forth. And He's calling it forth in this day, if you will have ears to hear. I didn't have any abilities, no skills. I am not a handyman, I'll tell you that for sure. I'm a glorified gopher. Go for this, go for that, go for the other. My wife gets up this honey-do list. Honey-do this, honey-do that, honey-do the other. Huh? I do my best. I'll tell you one thing I can really do. I can clean a dish like you haven't seen it. Yes, sir, I can clean a dish. I can wash dishes. I'm good at that. And in my younger days, I could lift a lot of weight, too. I could move your whole house by myself. Just had to move a four-bedroom house, and I could not do it by myself. I had a lot of people helping me. But you all have skills. And as I said before, the glory is a body ministry. And just because you say, I don't qualify for sonship, and I don't qualify for this, and I don't qualify for that, but you qualify for the glory because of His mercy and grace. Do you know that? You're going to be in the glory. If you're just breathing and you love Jesus, you're going to be in the glory. Nothing disqualifies you if you've got your ears on. Only thing that disqualifies you is you yourself, because you said, I can't do this. I can do all things. And He makes up for what you can't do. Remember that poor father, he had his son prayed for by everybody, all the disciples and all of the ones that were in the ministry, you know. And he didn't come out. He finally came to Jesus, and the Lord said, only believe, all things are possible. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That was enough. He said, I don't have faith. Every time the Lord asks me to do something, I'm afraid, I'm shaking in my boots. You know, faith is the greatest when you do it anyway. When you obey, even though you're shaking in your boots. Remember Mel Tari? How many remember Mel Tari? And the first time they started, the miracles and things started happening there, they were shaking in their boots every time the Lord told them to do it. But when they stepped out, just simply obeying God, God met them, right? No different here. It's no different in your house. Be faithful. The only thing the Lord's required of you is to be faithful to obey. That's all He's required of you. It's the simplest thing in the world. I can fall down and obey the Lord. Amen? When He says to rest, that's falling down, isn't it? Isn't that falling down? If I were to go over to that chair, and I were to critique that chair and say, well, you know, that chair doesn't look too stable. I don't know if I can sit there. Do you think you can trust the Lord more than you can trust that chair? Has the Lord ever let you down? Then begin to rest in Him. Begin to do the things He called you to do. Begin to stretch your faith. Begin to walk where you thought you never could walk before. As God leads, you will go into places you've never thought you'd find yourself. But God will be with you. Husbands, wives, speak over your family. You're anointed of the Lord, son. You're my son. I'm going to tell you who you are. Moms, talk over your daughters. You're my daughter. You're a cherished, valued person of this family. Fathers, talk over your daughters. Say, if a man doesn't treat you like I treat you, kick him to the side of the road. Amen? See, this is exhortation. This is exhortation to bring you into the place where your mind's on right, where you have a little bit of idea what it has to be and to have the mind of Christ, to see from His perspective. If the Lord has said that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, why are you looking up when you pray? If you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you lean over and say, hey, Lord. If Satan is under his seat, then why are you wrestling with him here? He's under your feet. The more you begin to pray from the position of authority, like Brother Bob said, Brother Booth said, begin to call those things that are in your way. Call them nothing, because they're nothing to God. Call them for what they are. Be imitators. Well, look at there. I am human after all, aren't I? Not that I had any question yet. Be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to talk like he talks. Let me ask you a question. If you're around your closest friend, don't you begin to talk alike? Huh? There's some truth to the fact that the longer you've been married, the more you begin to look alike. True. My wife has a beauty mark right here, and I'm beginning to develop one. No, it's not beauty, but... You know what? She says, I don't want your nose. It's the truth. But you see, the things that can happen is in relationship and association. The more you're with Jesus, the more you're going to be like him. The more you're with the television, the more you're going to be like television. Garbage in, garbage out. So what happens is there's a familiarity that begins to be established. Twins say that they know exactly what the other twin is thinking. If you're one spirit with him, then why aren't you thinking what he's thinking? Should be. Amen? Get everything out of your mind that would hinder that communication through the Spirit. Think on these things. Amen? Get your house in order. Jesus is coming. You don't want to have your dirty laundry hanging out when the Lord of Lords and Kings arrives, do you? You want to be in order and place. Hallelujah. We want to take a few moments. We're going to be eating in just a little bit here. But I believe that I have what could be not only the Word of God, but a Word of life in prophecy in your life. Many times, as an oracle of the Lord moves upon me to begin to declare things as though he were standing here. Okay? And under this unction, I have been speaking for a moment to or exhort you, to encourage you. Believe me, if you know me from out from under this anointing, I'm not like this. I'm probably shy and reserved and probably will stumble over my words when I try to explain myself, okay? So when the Lord is here to be manifest and to be encouraged, you look to him as your source of strength and your source of blessing. I had a dream the other night that Brother Bob was standing up straight in his room. I told him about it. I believe that with all my heart. I just see his spine being recreated. Everything that's missing, I see it being recreated. He's canceled two operations that they want to do something extra there in his spine. And I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe God's going to come in and do a mighty work before then. How many of you have struggled with a situation so long that your faith is about yay big and another area is just it's large? I've seen this man get in his car and grimace in horrible pain, but he says, praise God, praise God, praise God. I just met him here. I consider him a father. I am impressed. I want to be like him. I want to follow Jesus like he does. Don't you? These are men that have been standard bearers. And examples of what God can do in people's life. And they've made themselves available to ministry. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Howard back there, that ministry last night was powerful, man. I didn't lose one word, man. It was, some others said they'd heard the testimony 7 times, but it's new every time. You know why? Because it happened. And God makes it fresh. He's new every morning. This man's old enough to be my grandpa, you know, and I consider him a father in the Lord. And what he says and what he has seen, I believe it. I know it to be true because I can sense the anointing and the power of God that comes out in his words. How many know that phrase, I want to be like Mike? Have you heard that? I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. These fathers here and these examples of the grace of God and ministry of God are earthly examples of what Jesus wants to be in your life. There are ministers that I look up to. Paul Kane, I've known since 75. And the move of God that moved, I don't want to even use the word, I envy what God does through his life. I don't covet. I'm not supposed to. But I say, Lord, yes, do that. Minister that way. Jesus, let it be more often. Let it be more prevalent. Hallelujah. And you see, now the Lord is calling us unto a deep work and unto an area of victory. When I was coming over on the plane, Brother Glenn, I was there in prayer. I was coming over on the plane, and the Lord gave me a word. It started off with just a number, number five. Number five, number of grace. And the Lord says that He's going to give you a dispensation of grace at this time to bring you through this burden that's been upon you. You've been concerned about this property. What's the future of this property, Lord? What are you going to do with it? The Lord says it's in His hands. He's called you to this work. He's called you to do a mighty work, and He will strengthen your hands. And five people are going to give into this ministry that there will be no lack. You're going to have help, hands, to uplift you, to strengthen you, and lift your hands up, saith the Lord. And there shall be no lack, saith God. There shall be no lack. And this camp that God has given you a burden and a desire for shall go on to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And more, and more, and more, and more. I want to bless you now in Jesus' name. I want you to grasp a hold of these tapes. I know many of you, I've been given a lot of meat out today. I don't say that boastfully. I say that humbly. I pray that you would be able to take these scriptures, begin to ruminate over them, begin to meditate on them, and let the Lord begin to establish His Word in you. Let the Lord begin to supply understanding as to His fullness that He's bringing. We've heard the fullness of salvation. We thought we had it all. Many of you Baptists, you know what it was to say, you know, I don't have it all. Many of you Pentecostals say, you know, I don't have it all. We're longing for that day when the fullness and stature of Jesus Christ would be manifest, as it says there in Ephesians 4. For we're here for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all come to the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith. Into the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. And when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's just the foretaste. What is the fullness going to be like? Hallelujah. That's it. In a word. Glory. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I'm going to pray over the food. We're going to continue on in this thing. Let the Spirit of God go with you. Let this be a day of infusion of His power and blessing in your life. And may you be nourished. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank You for the hands that have prepared the food. We thank You for the things that You're doing in this work. And the more that we look unto You, the more You will do, Father.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.